Hallelujah. Let's be seated, please, just for a while. Get our confession. Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. 2024, my year of God-class exploits and the year of the fourth man. I am God's offspring, and in Him I live and move and have my being. I am no ordinary or natural person. I am a supernatural, extraordinary being, born of the seed of God Himself. I have the seed of God in me. I produce after God's seed, and I overcome the world. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. I am the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I represent Jesus. I speak for Jesus. I stand for Jesus. I reign with Jesus. The fourth man will be with me in the fire. What happens to ordinary people may happen to me, but I will have supernatural outcomes. The fourth man has made me a god to the natural elements of this world. Situations ordinary people cannot survive will become my stepping stones to glory testimonies in Jesus' mighty name. The king's shout is within me, and the lion's roar is rolling out of me. I raise the roof with my praise. I cry out and shout for joy. The greatest one lives here. I am feeding and reigning at a higher level. I have spiritual jurisdiction here. I take authority over this. Peace be still in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. This is my year of covenant release. I am undercover. No satanic plan against me, no divination against my house will ever prevail. In due season, and even now, the world will proclaim what wonders God has done for them. I am shielded and protected from every misfortune. I am undercover. The evil viper released into the world in these last days will not touch me. I am undercover. I am inoculated and vaccinated with a booster shot of the covenant. I am undercover. I am prospered, protected, and preserved in the ark. I am undercover. I shall take the viper into the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I am undercover in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2024 is my year of uncommon provision. I am blessed in all things. Jehovah Jireh will see to it. I am finding favor in unexpected places. And I see the ram caught in a thicket. The barrel of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail until the Lord sends rain upon the earth. God is sending rain on my field, and there shall be showers of blessings. I am one with God, and I possess what God possesses. I have the spirit of adoption. He is my Father, and I am a joint heir with Christ. I have real estate in heaven, and I have real estate on the earth. I lift my hand up to El Elyon, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. My God has made me rich. This will be a year of broken boundaries and unlimited reach. The boundaries are broken, and the limits are off. See, God has given me the cities, and the walls of Jericho are fallen. Hallelujah. Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things, everything is possible. Kermit Bikondo, I prophesy over you today. Your dwellings are lovely. Your homes are beautiful. You will spread out like rivers, like gardens by a river, like sweet-smelling aloes that the Lord Himself planted. and like strong cedar trees by the waters. You will pour water out of your own buckets and have your own channels of rich blessing and plenty. Your offspring will dwell by many waters, and your life and legacy will be exalted and established. The God who brought you out of captivity has the strength of a wild bull, and he will destroy your adversaries and crush their bones. You are like a lion who couches in rest after winning the victory. And who dares disturb you? Blessed of the Lord is anyone who blesses you, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 2024 is my year of God-class exploits, and this is the year of the fourth man. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Never gets old. It never gets old. Amen. That confession is powerful. And if you have not been enjoying it, reading it, claiming it for yourself, I beg you to do so. And you will not regret it. Praise the Lord. So this morning, I have just come here to just reinforce certain things that we've been doing. God has been blessing us through our senior pastor the past weeks. You know, I know who I am. I am born of God. And this morning, I have entitled the message, the short message I have, "What Do You Know?" What do you know? We are in a world today where information is saturated. There is no way you want to know something and you will not be able to know it. Data, some call it big data for those of you who are in IT. Data has become big, a very big part in every life, aspect of our lives. For those of you who even have Apple phones, the moment you get, when I get out of my house, I just see a notification, 50 minutes to work. 50 minutes. So it knows that Monday through Friday, when I get out of the house at 7:30, I am going to work. How does it know? It has collected my habits. It is a data in the system. Big data. What do you know? It's a challenge this morning. And so I would like us to go to Colossians, the book of Colossians. Please, can we go to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, from verse 27? And I want it in the message. I don't know why I've fallen in love with the message translation. It is it's something to behold. It's really good. Some of us who are old King James people, thou and they. This is not the time for thou and they. Let's put it aside. The message has something here for us I want to capture for us this morning. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out. Hallelujah. To know it inside and out. Meaning that there should be no doubt in who you are, in the knowledge that you have. Tomorrow you stand before kings and priests or, you know, governments, and they ask you of your faith. You should be able to tell them what you know. Amen. Regardless, and he says, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing, the mystery in a nutshell is just this. The mystery, meaning that it is time for us to understand that which has been hidden for a long time, that which has been a mystery. That mystery is just this. Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. Amen. The mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you. You can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It is that simple. Praise the Lord. It is that simple. Now, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's very simple. And because it is very simple, that's why The wise in the world don't understand it. They despise it. That's why the rich people will come in the night and ask Jesus, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus will give them a simple answer. You must be born again. This morning, I want to ask you, what do you know? Do you know that Jesus Christ in you? It's a simple knowledge, simple thing that grants you access to the glory, the life of God. Simple. If we look at Mark chapter 11, when Jesus Christ sent his disciples, I don't know if you can pull that, I think it's from 11, Mark chapter 11 from 11. When Jesus Christ told his disciples, go and get this donkey for me. Before that, let's bring it from verse 1. Let me see. The Bible says, when they were nearing Jerusalem at Belfast and Bethany on Mount Olives, he sent off two of the disciples with instructions. With instructions. Look at the instruction. Go to the village across from you. As soon as you enter, you'll find a colt tethered, one that has never yet been ill-ridden. Untie it and bring it. Now look at this. 3. Say, if anyone asks, what are you doing? Say, the master needs him and will return him right away. Jesus Christ does not borrow and does not fulfill his, does not pay back. Some people will say, oh, how can Jesus just take somebody's donkey? But it says the master needs him and will return him right away. Now let's go to 4. It says they went and found a colt tied to a door at the street corner and untied it. 5. Some of those standing there said, what are you doing untying that colt? Is it yours? You are not the owner. This colt, we know this colt. This is a colt, not like any ordinary colt. We know that the man who owns this colt has never used it. And we are kind of puzzled why. And you just come from nowhere, you want to untie it. The risk that the disciples even took to go and untie something that is not theirs. That risk. In Africa, yes, in Africa, they will land on you and you will understand. But they went because the master sent them. They did not question. It was simple. It's very simple. Just go and do as I say. And 6. The disciples replied exactly. I want us to underline that word. The disciples replied exactly as Jesus had instructed them. Praise the Lord. The disciples did not reinvent the wheel. The gospel should not be reinvented in these days. The gospel is simple and that's it. Simple. When they went there and they asked them, why are you untying this? Today, some people will say, you don't know what you're talking about. Do you know who sent us? The person who said, you have never heard of Jesus. The one who walked on the water. He fed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You have never heard of the one who resurrected Nazareth, a Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. He is the one who sent us. I am telling you, those people would have said, if he has the capacity to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, why can he not go and get his own donkey? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus just gave them one instruction. And they went and did it exactly as he said. They did not reinvent the wheel. The wheel was not reinvented. We are in the days where people want to reinvent the wheel, where the message of the simple message of the gospel has been made to be very complicated. So complicated that you ask yourself, what is going on? I don't know. There is one preacher in, let me just say Africa, who has become so popular in these days, and he is telling people, the level of my power is here. I have not started even operating at this other level. And he gave some kind of names, you know, making a mockery of the word of God and the power of God. The gospel of Jesus is so simple. The gospel that Jesus has is so simple. If you obey it, just as God has said it, you will reap the benefits. You will not, you see, Jesus knew that if he just gave them this instruction, the people will not want to, because it's limited knowledge. The knowledge is limited. The master has sent us. And you begin to ask yourself, the master? Is it the man who owns the donkey? Who is this master? Anyway, I don't want me to just go. Take it and go. And they went. What do you know? In the Bible, God has always given his instructions, very simple and detailed. He asked Noah to build the ark with specific instructions. There was a reason why. And Noah went, the Bible says Noah went and built the ark according to the specifications that God gave him. But on the other hand, there are people in the Bible where God had instructed them to do something and they did it the other way, or maybe wanted to overdo it. And they got the consequences. Example, pointing Moses. Remember when God told Moses, speak to the rock and water will come out. Moses wanted to overdo it. What did he do? In anger, he hit that rock. And that was what made him not to inherit, not to even get into the promised land. The land which he was made. Moses was born, and the first day the mother saw him. The Bible says the mother saw that this child was beautiful. This child had something in him. As the pastor has been telling us the past weeks, the mother spoke into Moses, telling him, you are special. You might be in Egypt, in Pharaoh's palace, but you have a task. You have something. That was the purpose for which God brought Moses to this world. It was to take the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses was not brought to see the promised land. He was brought to take the children of Israel into the promised land. It was such a big task in such a way that when even Moses gave Joshua that, handed the keys to Joshua, the rein to Joshua, Joshua was scared. You remember in Joshua 1:8, he was scared. He said, look, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you want to follow me, because I know who you are. You are a hot-headed people. It is because of you that Moses has not entered the promised land. You hot-headed people. For 40 years, you roamed the desert. And as Pastor said, for 40 years, all those who even were there when Moses wanted to reinvent the wheel again. Remember when he went and met these two Israelites who were arguing and fighting amongst themselves, and he was, why are you fighting amongst you are brothers, you're not supposed to fight. And they said, who made you the ruler or judge over us? They said it because it was not his time. 40 years later, when he came with an anointing and authority. Because you remember before he came, he asked God, if I go there, they will ask me who has sent me. And God said, I am that I am. And so when he came with that anointing. He came with that authority. So when he was speaking, people could listen. What do we know? Knowing who Christ is in you and knowing who you are in Christ will make you a champion that can never be defeated on this earth. Knowledge. Jesus wants us to know him. These last days, out there we have a lot of people trying to make us doubt who we are. You know, they want to make some people doubt that God called them to be men or to be women. They want you to doubt it. There's a lot of doubt in the air. A lot of doubt. Because when you start doubting, there is no power. There's no authority. Where do you stand to speak? On what authority do you stand to speak? So knowing who Christ is in you and knowing who you are in Christ will make you a champion that can never be defeated on this earth. That can never be defeated on this earth. I begin to ask myself, when Jesus asked, why did Jesus ask that the disciples go and bring him a colt, a donkey that had never been ridden on? Nobody had ever put. So I said, let me do some research about donkeys. If you go and research about donkeys, you will understand that donkeys are very loyal. They are loyal to their master. Very loyal. And so if a donkey knows that you are their master, it will obey you. They say the donkey is very territorial. That's what the word they use about donkey in Wikipedia. They are very territorial. They don't like trouble. Peaceful. They don't like. You remember in the Bible, it's Balak or Balaam. Remember, the donkey told. What did the donkey tell him? He said, "Look, for these years, I've been with you. For all these years, you have said turn like this. I turned." You said, turn like this, I turn. Now you want me to go and I stop. You could not even ask yourself, this donkey, donkeys, what is happening? Something might be wrong somewhere. Amen? Something. So understanding your environment, understanding the things that happen around you. Our brother was talking about the eclipse. We saw it. It was a wonderful sight to behold. It was those 5 minutes. My wife was just praising God and I was like, now wow. The works of your hand and just praise. I have it on tape. I say, look. like our brother said, God has given wisdom to man. And man said, at 3:13 it will start. And it will be for 5 minutes. And we were there sitting. We started sitting around 2:55 and looking. They were like, what is happening here? We are not seeing, no. I said, relax. They have said it will come. What you are seeing like that, it's reducing bit by bit. They said, we don't see Amo. Around 3:10. They said, oh yes, it has become smaller. And then it covered and the beauty of it. You know, at 3:13. It, you see, that is it. Knowledge. At 3:15, 35 seconds. At 3:13, 35 seconds. It started. The beauty of the eclipse. And I began to wonder, how can I apply this in my life? An eclipse for 5 minutes. The change of the normal, the status quo, how people see things or want things to be done. God says, for 5 minutes, I will show you that I can control. Yeah. And some people paid. Somebody said, I booked this hotel last year, 1 year, to come and view it. The beauty of God. So the donkey told him, I have not, I am seeing something. There is something wrong in front of me. There is a man with a sword. I don't know this. I've never, a donkey even, it pushed the donkey to talk. Donkeys don't talk. They don't. And so Jesus said, go and bring me a donkey that has not been subjected to the rule and of any man. That has not been controlled. Their loyalty has not been given to another man. Because when I will ride on this donkey, I will be the king. I will enter Jerusalem. Because Jesus already knew. They were waiting for him in Jerusalem. How can I enter into Jerusalem? This donkey, maybe the friends were telling him, you, no man, no one take you. Why is the master not even selling you? You are missing out. You know where my master took me today? You don't know. I went to this. The donkey was there. The donkey did not know. But on that day, that donkey had the King of Kings on him. Amen? The King of Kings. The unadulterated donkey. The donkey that had not been controlled by man. Jesus was controlling him. That is how our life is in Christ. Simple. Simple. The donkey went simple. Is this how outside is? People are just putting things and I can walk on. If I understood what animals and how animals speak, I would have been amazed to just sit that and see what that donkey will say when they went and gave him back. Say today was you guys have been missing. What you have been saying, no, your master took you maybe to that bar or to that, no, to see that uncle or no. Where I went, you don't know. Where I went, there was noise, and that noise, with this my big ears, and that noise, I took it all, and my blood was cold. The heat, I could not feel it. No, this is not a lie. The donkeys, the Wikipedia says donkeys have big ears for a reason. The big ears, the sound makes their blood to be cold. And so in a very hot region, like in the desert, when there is a lot of noise, it's good for them. Imagine this donkey riding on Jesus and people are shouting, Hosanna in the highest. There was noise that day in Jerusalem. This donkey was feeling so wonderful. I cannot feel the heat. Am I even carrying somebody? I am just one. He was just going. Praise the Lord. That is what Jesus has called us. Simple. Can you put Colossians 1:27 again? Simple. It's just simple. We are not called to reinvent the wheel. We are called to reinforce the truth. We are not called to reinvent the wheel. Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. It is why we are. That is why we live. It is not deciphering the messages in the Bible, trying to think what they are, what they meant. No, it's just simple. That Christ is in you, we share the glory of God. You see, that's why I say this confession is so wonderful. Because, you see, it tells you, I am. A lot of, I am there. I am one with God. I am this. I am this. I have the spirit of adoption. I have real estate in heaven. This will be a year of broken boundaries and unlimited reach. We are going to have unbroken boundaries and unlimited reach if we make our lives simple. You have to know this, please, this year. Don't complicate your life. Jesus Christ has given us a simple, simple life. The script is simple. It's a very simple script. You know? If you read the Genesis and Jacob, the story of Jacob is one that intrigues me because he has a lot of, He has a lot of things. The life of Jacob is that one, that life which when you read it and study it, you see how God intervenes in a man's life, even though that man, you know, if you look how when Jacob had this encounter with God in Genesis chapter 32 or 28, I think. When Jacob had this encounter with God, when he was going back to Canaan, when he was going back, he had this encounter with God and God said, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." He said, "That's the old. I'm giving you a new name, Israel." That's why today some people will judge and mock Israel and wish death to Israel. Because knowledge, they don't know. Because they don't know. God said, "Your name is Israel. You are going to be blessed." That land, you know, before he went to Laban and he had this vision, when he woke up, put that stone in remembrance, what did he say? He said he will give God one tenth of whatever he has. And this place, he called it Bethel, because God is here. He called it Bethel. But when he came back, there was fear in his heart. Because even though God had promised him all this wonderful thing, that is, he's going to possess the land, he's going to be a prosperous man. And even though he had also made this promise to God, that if God brings him back, you know, he was going to come and raise an altar in that place. He was still afraid of his brother Esau. And the Bible tells us that, you know, calculate. Jacob is one of those people who, if you look at his life, he was very careful, meticulous, and calculative. Very. And I had shared once here that when he wanted to go and meet his brother, he made sure he sent his servants first, with gifts. In IT, we call that denial of service. So you flood. What he was doing was flooding. Flooding, because the Bible says Esau came with 400 men. You think he came with 400 men to just greet his brother? No. The same reason why Jacob left and went to Laban was that the mother heard that Esau was planning to kill Jacob. Jacob knew that I am going to Laban because my brother wants to kill me. And it was ringing in his head when he was coming back. He asked, he's like, "I am going back to the same man who had promised to kill me." 400 men Esau was coming with. And Jacob said, "I'm going to give you a denial of action. I'm going to show you blessings." And so he lobbied and sent people, servants. "You first go with this 200 sheep. You, when he wants to over, you flood him again with his 250 goats. And then he wants to think, you flood him again." It was in steps. A very smart man. It was God just telling him, you know, it was, and when I read it, I'm like, "Oh, this man." And then he left and he said, "This is not all. What I want us to get here is," when he sent his wives and his kids over the brook, the Bible says he remained behind and he wrestled with somebody. He wrestled with God. And in wrestling with God the whole night, can you imagine? I did not ask you anything, Siri. You're interrupting. So, he wrestled with God. The Bible says all night he wrestled with God. And then God wanted to go. The man, he said, "No, you're not going home." Jacob, his fight with Esau was triggered by the mother, not him. True? It is the mother who heard that Isaac wanted to bless Esau. Jacob, his fight with Laban was triggered by Laban. It is Laban who gave him Leah instead of Rachel. But this fight, it was Jacob. This is the first time Jacob fought. And he fought with God. And he prevailed. Because when he finished, they asked him, "What is your name?" Jacob. And the angel said, "You have fought with man and with God and you have prevailed. Your name is Israel right now. You have prevailed. You have encountered God. You have wrestled with God. God has given you a new name, simple, Israel." And the Bible says, even though they gave him a sign, you know, when he was limping, that morning, he went and met his brother without fear. He went and met his brother because he had prevailed the night before. He had wrestled with God. God had wrestled and God had told him that, look, you have won with man and with God. You have won. So whatever you see Esau there, whatever you think he will do, know that it has been taken care of. It has been settled. Amen. And the Bible says when he saw Esau, Esau wept. Esau kissed him and Esau wept. You know, Esau kissed him and Esau wept. With 400 men coming to take the life of his brother, he came and kissed his brother instead. Why? Because the brother encountered God, prevailed with God. The brother decided to take time apart to tell the family, "Go. There is serious business here. And in this business, I don't need people to be around because the fight will be fierce." And so there is time in your lives when you go through things and you sit back and say, "You know what? I think I have to take some time, maybe to fast, maybe to pray, because what is ahead of me is tough." Jacob understood this. And so he encountered God and he wrestled with God. And he told God, "You will not go unless you bless me." That is what we have been called to. A simple life which knows when to do what and where to do what. With all the activities that we have, if things are coming in your life, in your family, and you sense that there is something that is a pattern, you say, "No, this is not supposed to be." A pattern that is against, it's not a pattern of blessing. We need to have a pattern of blessing. Meaning that when people see us and things happen to us, they are like, "What do you expect? It's always like that. They are just blessed. His things just go, you know, there is no stress with him. He's like Joseph, wherever he went. You remember? He was just blessed. He was just up there. In prison, he was up. The servant, somebody who was sold as a slave became a boss. You know, he said, "Your master, your husband has everything in this house. Your husband has given under me. You, I cannot touch." You know, when we have those patterns in our lives that are not in line with the blessings of God, it is time for us to retreat and to wrestle with God. It is time for us to say, "No, this pattern will not prevail in my family." Okay? You see, it says that the things that happen to people, the ordinary, what happens to ordinary people may happen to me, but I will have supernatural outcomes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I will have supernatural outcomes. You know? Put it in your mind and determine that, look, I know that we are in a four-season nation where each season comes with its own stuff hidden in it. In fall, there is flu, you know, and all these things that happen. Anything that is not blessing, it's not a blessing, determine in your heart that, look, I will not be part of it. It's not going to cross my household. Amen? Determine in your life, in your heart, like Jacob did. Jacob saw danger. He cried. He said, look, God, you are the one who said you will bless me. Remember? You said my offspring will be blessed. I see Esau coming. He's coming to end me. He was desperate. And so he came and had this encounter with God. We should be like Jacob. We should be desperate in our dealings with God. We should wrestle with God and tell God this is what we want. Amen. Amen? That is where we get our life. That is where we share with the glory. We have been adopted. So we have to share God's glory. We have been fooled for too long to think that the ordinary things that happen to normal people, we should have the same outcome as them. No, our outcome should be supernatural. Because out there, everybody just wants, you know, everybody wants to gain. Everybody wants to use you. You know, like I have my brother who is here from South Africa. Praise the Lord. As my brother, he said, let me go to my brother. I'm not saying, he left Cameroon 2009, same year I left. I've not seen him since. He said, they gave me a holiday. I want to come and spend with you. I said, come, my brother, come. And so he's here. He has been with us for 2 weeks. Yeah, wonderful. It has been wonderful having him around. But when he landed in America, and he was looking for a cab, taxi or Uber to take him. I was in church here two Sundays ago. The pastor was preaching. And he called. I told him I'm in service. So, you know, the message the pastor was preaching, I did not want to miss. So I just told him that, look for an Uber, you know. And he went, he said, okay. He went out and he met this guy. And the guy said, wait, where are you going? So I'm going to the other, it's Reagan airport. He was in Dulles. So he wanted to go to Reagan to take the local flight to come here. And this guy sees him and says, oh yeah, I am. I'll take you there. Let's go. And he asked the guy, how much is it? The guy said, $100. He doesn't know, right? He doesn't know that is too much. I am an Uber driver. I drive Uber. So he called and he tells me, hey, this guy has said it is $100. I did not want to start arguing. I just wanted him to go, settle, and I come back to the and follow my message. I say, go. And the funny thing was, the guy was from where? From his same country, Cameroon. And I'm like, this guy, your own countryman. Why now? Why would you see your brother and you want to use him? Why would you do that? You know? I said, you know, sometimes some people don't know what happens to them. Certain things happen to people and you are like, why is it happening? You don't know what they have done. You don't know what they've opened, those doors they've opened. You know? You don't know. Because as believers, we have a lien on our lives. A lien in contract. If you go like you have a mortgage, I don't know if you know what a lien is. L-I-E-N. If you go and you have a mortgage or you pay a car note, lien works mainly for car notes. When you go and get a car note from a banking financial institution, what the financial institution does is it gives the dealership money and takes your title and registers it on the lien website. There's a registry called lien that says, I have authority over this car. So at any point in time, I can go and take this car if this man does not fulfill his commitments. As believers, we have a lien in our lives. And that lien was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when we go out there and we are walking and the devil wants to encounter, just tell the devil, I don't have title to my life. That title was purchased. Amen. That title has been purchased. If you can go and redeem it from the owner, then come and do what you want to do. But as long as you don't have that lien on my life, I walk on victory land. Hallelujah. It is that simple. And it's a spiritual rule that the devil respects. Because he even told God, you have surrounded Job with all these blessings. You have this lien on him. How will he not serve you? And God said, you think so? Okay, let me remove the lien. Touch him. But don't kill him. Because his life belongs to me. We have a lien on our life. And that lien was bought by the blood of Jesus. Amen. And so if we understand this thing, there is nothing that will cause us to shake. There is no boast from demons. There is no situation that will come our way and that we will not be able to say, oh, okay, I see, it's coming. I think it's time to get into the closet. Time for some wrestling with God. Hey, Father, this thing is here. What's going on? And you wrestle with God and wrestle with God. And you come out victorious. Because God is the one who has that lien over our lives. God has bought our life. You know, the Bible says we have been bought with a price. We are hid with him in Christ. Colossians 3:3, I think. Can we have that, please? Let's read Colossians 3:3. Hey, we'll end with Colossians 3:3. We'll end with Colossians 3:3. Let's start from one. Okay, yeah. Let's start from there. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen? That's some layer of hiding. It's a powerful layer of hiding. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. It's some layer of hiding. Nobody can touch you. Go to 4, let's see. When Christ, who is alive, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, oh my goodness, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. We have been called out of the world. We have been called to live lives, holy lives, righteous lives. We don't live like the world lives. Our frequency is different. Yes. Amen? God's frequency is that which we live on. It means that if you are not on the same frequency like I am, when I do things, you might never understand. Until somebody who knows that has my same frequency, you'll be able to say, ah, this is what's going on. And just thank God. Amen? Sometimes we go through things and some people look at it and they will tell you, I see what's going on here. They understand it because they are on the same frequency. There was a time that people were dying in my family and I'll tell the pastor. The pastor says, Kemet, take some time and pray for your family. Something ain't right. My grandfather died. My uncle died. My aunt died. This one died. My sister's son was shot. I'm like, oh God, what is going on? There must be an end to this. Amen. We have to stand as a, you know, we have to take authority. We have to put an end to this. We have been hid with Christ in God. Amen. You should know that today. Amen. You have a layer of hiding. A layer of hiding. Amen.
And that layer is sealed with a lien, the blood of Jesus. Because there is no way Satan will go and die to redeem you. The death of the cross, that death of the cross, is the death that shocked heaven. It shocked heaven. Even Jesus cried out and said, "Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It is death that shocked heaven. And so the price that was paid is that same price that God has used to buy us, to put us. Nobody can break it. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing can break it. Hallelujah. I am hid in Christ, with Christ in God. So if you can touch God, then I am at your mercy. But I know that you cannot touch God. Praise the Lord. I know that you cannot touch God. That is what I know. I know that I am with Christ in God and you cannot touch God. I know that my life has a lien on it, and that lien, the owner is God. You cannot touch me. You cannot touch me. And the day I face anything that is contrary to that which God has for me, oh, I have weapons you cannot imagine. I have weapons you cannot imagine. Like that my friend said, oh, Kemet, Iran is striking Israel. I said, has it touched Israel yet? Has it? I said, but why are you complicating things now? Has it touched Israel? Where is it? And somebody said, oh, yeah, it is over Iraq. I said, it is still over Iraq. When it touches Israel, you tell me. And this morning when I was browsing over the news, they said, air supremacy. All these drones were struck down. That's alive. In Christ, when the devil comes, we are waiting for him. Hallelujah. Because we have spiritual air supremacy. Spiritual air supremacy. We do not have the, how do you call it, the dome. The Israelites, they have a dome, you know, and they have there in their cities. When these rockets come, the dome just paf, push it down. We have the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God has given us a lien and has given us weapons to pull down anything that exalted itself in our lives against God. God has given us that power to pull it down. Whatever you're going through, you have the power in your hands to pull it down. You should know this today. This knowledge is what the devil does not want us to know. The devil is fighting a war against knowledge because he knows that what you know is very important. What you know is very important. That is the key. What do you know? Ask yourself, do you know? Praise the Lord. This morning, that is what God had for us. Knowledge. What do we know? We should go and face this world. Go and face the week. Go and face this year with the knowledge that we are hid with Christ in God. And it is simple. Let's stand up, please. Know this. Don't allow the devil to just toast you left and right. Don't do that. The devil is afraid. The greatest fear that the devil has is believers who just know the simple truth that we are with Christ hid in God. And that we have a lien on our lives, which that lien, the owner is God. And so there is nothing that will come and happen to us without God giving permission. And God will not. God will not. God has called us to a life of plenty. He has called us to a life of happiness. He has called us to enjoy. God has not called us to a life of pain. God has not. We go through pain, but we learn through this pain. Amen. What do you know? Do you know these things? Do you know these things? Moses thought because he grew up in Pharaoh's palace, he could kill somebody and hide in the sand and the Israelites would be happy. But he did not know the plan of God. What do you know? Do you know who you are in God? It's simple. We should not reinvent it. We should not reinvent the gospel. The gospel is simple. It is Jesus Christ in us. It's simple. It is a life that has surrendered to Jesus. It's a life that has said, look, my life is linked to God. I have Jesus in me. That day when I took that decision to say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and personal Savior. That day, I granted the key to my life to God. God had a lien on my life. And so God gave me all his characteristics. God gave me all his characteristics. God has me share his glory. What do we know? What do you know? Praise the Lord. We give glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.